What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. And I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Red Dye. We gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts. How many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
All right, they ain't ready. They ain't never gonna be ready. It is another episode of What Is TWS podcast. We had episode I think 119 at this point. As always, I'm your boy J. Dot Flan, and with me in our new studio setup,
man,
Austin Public is my brother Rich Nerd.
Yep.
We are the White Pants Society. Yeah, as you can see, we in a we got a different little setup. We doing this video. We in a podcasting television studio. It's all kinds of lights and shit in here. So lights, camera, action. It's crazy in this joint.
First time for everything. We in here, no practice. Just
no practice.
Same way we started the podcast, the same way we taking it to the next level. We just jumping right in.
Yeah, trying to figure out how to work this whatever you want to call it, camera mixer, video mixer joint. Or from audio mixer to a video mixer now.
Man.
That's how we rolling. Anyway, man, so let's get into this episode. Let's do our calls to action first. Again, as always, TT Charities, ladies and gentlemen, the situation in Flint, Michigan is still ongoing. I believe that TT Charities and Black Millennials for Flint were just out in Flint, delivered, you know, several thousand gallons of bottled water to the people of Flint. I think the Flint government has officially done away with the programs that they had that were providing clean water or bottled water to the residents. So programs like, you know, what TT Charities does and what Black Millennials for Flint, what they do, these are really some of the only outlets for those people, those tax-paying, water bill-paying citizens in Flint, Michigan, to get clean water, a staple of life. So if you can, ttcharities.org, check out the website. Donate whatever you can. They have more programs than just the Flint, Michigan water drive. I know they're doing a book drive, I believe, right now. Trying to promote literacy in some of our communities. They just have a lot going on. And if you go to the website, you can see it all. Donate what you can. You know, time, money, books, clothes, whatever it is that they need. If all you can do is just repost, retweet, tell a friend. That helps as well. TTCharities.org. Let's be our brother's keeper. And we got our brother, Alex, and Celebrity Hair Corp. Again, I'm telling you, it's been like 104 yesterday.
Man, 105 today.
I'm trying to tell you, that super heat and that glue and that sweat.
Not the way to go.
Not for you. So you need to refresh them bundles on the regular. Can't beat the deals at CelebrityHairCorp.com. They got the free shipping, no tax. Get your bundles refreshed, ladies. Let them make you look like the star that you are.
Let your soul glow.
CelebrityHairCorp.com. Holla. And then the homie Devin and Tell Your Boss to Kick Rocks. Definitely check him out. Get your inspiration to take control of your life.
If you ever wanted to know how to quit your job the right way,
tell your boss to kick rocks.
Man, Devin got you.
He got you. Great content. I know he's at least on episode one of his podcast. I'm looking forward to going on the podcast and lending my unique perspective to the Kick Rocks community. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But tell your boss to kick rocks. Check it out. We got the merch. We got the shirts popping.
TWS merch is on the rise. We got all the new logo stuff in there. We got all of the new saying stuff in there. We got that new embroidered collection. If you trying to figure out how you're going to, you know, support TWS, but you got that corporate 9-to-5 job, we got embroidered polos for you, too. So there's no excuse. You playing golf, you out there in the sun. We got hats. We got 5 panels. We got dad caps, bucket caps, pullover beanies. Ain't no excuse. Shout out to TWS. Holla at your boys.
You can definitely rep. We got a million ways to rep right now. get in the store. What is TWS.com/goods?
That sounds like some bars real quick. We got a million ways to rep.
And you know what? Even when I'm not trying, it's just bars.
Send the blood. Send bars.
All right. Other major announcements, Rich. We have officially joined the Pod Dealers Network.
Definitely, definitely. We're excited.
So joining forces with another brother at arms, Jay, and the Just Say Words Pod. Looking to definitely do a lot of big things in terms of cross-promotion and having our shows work together and sharing our audience. But it was a big step for us.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely dope when people who do what it is that you do, like, respect your work.
When you get that respect, when you get that nod, when you get that acknowledgement, it really makes it all worthwhile. We've been at this coming up on 2 years. October, yeah. It'll be 2 years. Yes, and like I said, it was grinding. Like, we really didn't know, you know, we had an idea, we had that spark, and we just wanted to, you know, let it burn, you know, for, you know, no pun intended. But we've really come far, you know, so to get that nod and that acknowledgement and that respect from the Pod Dealers Network and Jay and the crew, you know, that's a lot of love. You know, you can't ask for more than that. And it's like, it's just going to help us expand and you know, grow our platform. And you know, in case you guys didn't know, we're everywhere now. Yeah. You know, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, man, Podbean. We out here.
Castbox.
And we streaming from our own website, self-hosted. Like, we got this. We out here.
We put the episodes is going up on YouTube. I'm working on the IGTV. If there's places you go for content, we will be there.
There's no excuse. Hit that follow button. Hit that subscribe button everywhere. You want to know what's going on daily with us? Hit us up on Twitter. What's the name? What is TWS? You trying to, you know, get visual? You want to follow us on the IG? What is TWS? You got that Facebook? What is TWS? Google Plus? What is TWS? We're everywhere. There's no excuse right now. Follow the movement. TWS Multimedia is not going to do anything but just get bigger and better. And we're out here collectively just trying to bring you better content.
Right. We're grinding, like, fresh off work.
Man, I still got my name tag on. Like,
straight to the studio, man. Setting up, learning. I learned this TV thing.
It is what it is. You just gotta
do it.
Yeah. It's no excuse.
You gotta go from wanting to do something to doing it.
A well-rested man never made it.
ladies, yes. I'm glad you said that, Rich, because I want to address this real quick. Please understand. I'm going through some things personally, but successful men are busy men. It's very difficult to be successful at anything without putting in a shit ton of time. And it's not time that you necessarily want to take away from anybody. But, you know, if you have something that you truly believe in, that you truly believe could be life-changing for you and your family, you know, sometimes you got to make sacrifices.
I agree. Nobody, you don't wake up in the morning saying, what can I do to spend 2 more hours away from home? Rather, it's what can I do with these 2 hours away from home that'll let me spend my tomorrows and my everydays just being there, you know, just letting my family be able to relax, you know, setting up a better life. If I got to sacrifice that 2 hours today to make that next 20 years, you know, amazing, you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. It's not fun. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of times I definitely wish I could be home, but, I wholeheartedly believe in what we're trying to do, Rich. So I'm grinding.
TWS on the media on the rise.
Grinding. All right, let's see. What else? All right, so yeah, Pod Dealers Network. We moving that way. Had some good times this weekend. We hit up Hanover's.
Oh, yeah.
For that comedy show. Got to see Desi Banks.
Comedy show is dope, yeah.
It's Alex Thomas.
Hold up. So, all right, so bet. Desi Banks, I've been seeing him a lot of places. I respect what this dude does. You know, he's an up and comer. He's been out here for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I can't even say really like he's an up and comer. I say it in the sense that he's not officially like broken through yet in the vein of like Tiffany Haddish and Kevin Hart and all of the rest of them, but you gotta respect his funny, like he's there. But motherfucking Alex Thomas killed it. He that's a funny dude.
I wasn't expecting. I mean, no diss. I wasn't expecting. Alex Thomas is not a name I necessarily, you know, jumps in my mind in terms of comedians. But after that show, I definitely co-signed, like, yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, you know stuff that he's done. Yeah. You know he's been in it for a minute. You know he's been writing for a minute. You've seen him everywhere. He's one of those forever comedians that's just been Benson's and everything. But to see him live on stage and watching his set, he's a funny dude.
Definitely a funny dude.
Yeah, shout out to Alex Thomas. If you listen to this, I'm gonna tag you anyway, so hopefully you listen to this. Bruh, that set you did at Hanover's this past weekend was funny as shit. I'm glad I went. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, that history of ignorant music. that's the one. That was crazy.
Man, I hope I can find like a snippet of that somewhere. If I find a snippet, I'm gonna paste it right here.
Still learning this TV shit. Speaking of that, we also did that this weekend. Held our second casting call for brand ambassadors as well mm-hmm. as
hostess.
We did have some people come out.
Yeah,
we got some good footage. We got to test our unique brand of. I don't know what you call this.
I don't know, humor, banter, yeah. Candor, whatever you want to call
it. See if we could fit another piece in there. We're definitely looking for that third perspective and a female perspective. We got some stuff we're going to touch on tonight. I really, really wish we had a female perspective on the show. Can I even say female perspective?
A woman's POV.
Woman's POV.
Because a female could be a guy now. Listen, I'm not gonna open up that can of worms. You're right.
Sorry, Rich. Don't start it.
All right, but yeah, so.
But yeah, we was out here this weekend, got some good footage, had some good meetings. The television show is definitely in the works September. So we gotta grind for the next month to get this
episode out, yeah.
But September 2018, Educated Ignorance is coming your way. And it will be everything you believed it.
That's what she said.
Super dope. Oh, something in my eye on camera. Anyway. All right,
so this is, we got a few topics that we want to pick up on. Excuse us for being a little disheveled. Like I said, we're trying to acclimate to this new space, so we don't have our setup quite the way we want.
I'm working on my laptop.
But it is the way it is.
I'm uncomfortable right now. I'm not feeling myself. I'm not in my space, my element.
So we got a few topics we want to touch on. I can't front. They might spiral, but we'll see where this goes. So the first one, my brother in arms, my brother in podcast, my brother in TV, my brother in business, Mr. Flan, sent this article earlier about catcalling. And it's not something that I've necessarily...
I had never heard of this shit.
Yeah, I've never heard of it like as a thing, as a movement. After reading an article, I can kind of... I guess see it. I don't know if it's something. So it's hard to describe. So catcalling basically, you know, summertime out. Everybody got on the tank tops. Everybody got on the short shorts. So people are scantily clad. People are showing a little bit more skin. So naturally, you know, the tattoos is out. I'm on camera now. You know, the tattoos is all out or whatever. And so it's an article written about catcalling, and it's from a woman's POV, and she's just talking about how she's outside. Her friends, whoever it is, you know, they got their shirts on, their short sleeve shirts on, their tanks, their shorts, and, you know, their tats are out, and it's like, while they're walking by, instead of, like, traditional catcalling, like, hey, baby, like yo. It's like, I like that tat, let me see that ink. Oh, you got a sleeve, mom, like, all types of stuff like that. And I've never, you know, I guess heard of the term catcalling. But, I could kind of see where it can be a thing. So before we go further, I just want to, you know, put this out there. I'm not saying that it's okay to disrespect anybody. I'm not saying that it's okay to disrespect anybody. You know, I'm not saying that you should, you know, give people unwanted attention. But with that said, I'm one of those people that, like, I have ink. You know, I have 12 tattoos. So I go outside when I have on my tank top and my short sleeve shirt. Like, I know somebody's obviously going to see the ink. You're always going to get that question. Oh, what's that? Oh, what does that mean? So it's, I feel like it comes with a certain level of expectation. You can't go outside fully tatted up and then just not expect somebody to look, go into awe, admire, love, hate, whatever. Like, it's going to happen, but it's I don't know.
I read the article and I'm really trying. Like, I don't want to feel like I keep taking the, I don't even know what the word for it, but I feel like I'm always like on the side against whatever it is, these like feminist movements are. But some of this stuff just to me feels like, just searching
for the sake of,
yeah. It's like, I don't know what it's like to be a woman. And to not be able to go out in public without somebody commenting on your appearance. But it goes back to, you know, a recurring theme of the show and something I've said all the time. Like, we do live in a world right now where you can do whatever it is you want.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is you want, you have the freedom to do it. The one thing you cannot do is dictate to other people how to react to you.
Oh, yeah.
So if you got on tattoo, like, I'm like, don't touch her. Don't make the assumption.
Don't approach in disrespect.
Don't say anything disrespectful. Don't say anything explicit or blatantly sexual. But to say that you come outside with your body decorated in tattoos, and if I see it, have an opinion about it, I can't say nothing.
It's asinine.
That's too much.
And then even reading through the article, like, it's a point in the article when she says, you know, some guys, like, she feels like maybe they're trying to be complimentary, you know, yelling out the side of cars, hey, nice tats and things like that. But she's getting offended. She's like, some guys even, like, use her tattoos as a conversation starter when approaching her. Well, if you don't know somebody,
you gotta find
some common ground. If I got tattoos and you got tattoos, first thing I'm like, bet we both like ink. That's a conversation starter. I can't walk up to you and say, "Hey, is your mother's name Emily?" Like, that's some weird shit. Like, it's common ground. So I don't understand it.
I feel like it's a little bit of a. I could definitely see where there are some moments where people commenting on your tattoos could cross a line into harassment.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read the article, the feeling I got from it was like, "Don't say shit to me unless I present you with an opportunity to get to know me." If I don't present you with the opportunity to talk to me about these tattoos, you keep your motherfucking mouth.
And it's crazy. And this is, and I'm going to segue into something real sharp in a minute. Pause. But this made me feel awake because I'm one of those dudes who comments on tattoos. I'm not trying to pick people up. Like, even today, when I stopped for lunch, the dude and the woman at the restaurant both had really dope tattoos.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, you know, your ink is really nice. You know, do you mind if I ask? You know, did you get your ink in Austin? You get it in another state? It's a conversation starter. Two, sometimes you really just want to know. I've been wanting to get more tattoos for a while.
Yeah.
If they had a place that good and it's in Austin, I want to know about it. So it's not coming from a place of disrespect, one. And two, you know, you're investing all of this money into this artwork, you know, trying to be expressive, and then you're getting mad that someone's recognizing what you're trying to express. It's crazy.
I think the thing that bothered me the most was that it made it seem like annoying somebody is disrespectful. Like, people are gonna do things that you don't like. Mm-hmm. People are gonna annoy you. Panhandlers asking me for money.
Annoying.
Or annoying people, you know, just randomly seeing me. I tell people all the time, I wish I could change whatever in my face makes people think I want to hear their life story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You gotta stop in the middle of the street and ask for help type of face, nigga. Yeah. I don't...
People just talk to me for no fucking reason. But that's not... That's annoying as fuck. But I can't act like they harassed me. Like,
mm-mm.
So there's a difference. Like, we need to... I didn't like the article because it blanketed the entire realm of the behavior as harassment. Like, anybody who says anything to you unsolicited about your tattoos is harassing you. I think there are people who make unsolicited comment about your tattoos that are definitely in that are definitely, you know, crossing the line into harassment. But not everyone who says
not something everyone to you about your tattoo. You can't use that blanket statement. You.
And don't make it seem like people have to now be afraid to express any opinion. You're out in public. If you don't want nobody to talk
don't
about
go out in public.
Don't go out in public or cover it up. Make it so that they don't have anything to look at. But if it's there, you know, I'm going to tell you, like, it reminds me of the Victoria's Secret shit when they started putting words across the ass of pants and shit like that. And it's like...
Which was crazy because that's all Pink does.
It's got...
You put a logo on somebody's ass and then get mad because somebody read the logo. What? Why'd you put it there?
You drew my eye there on purpose. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like in trouble because I looked at it. Now, I can't, that doesn't give me the right to be like, nice ass, ma. Or, you know I appreciate the, is it really pink? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that don't give me all that license, but I'm saying.
Is it really pink? That's a good one. But exactly, I just think it's taking it too far, and it's some and like, it's some real me too, for the sake of shit, what I think that the author of this particular article, they were under the gun, they had a time limit, time frame in which they had to submit some shit, and it was like, damn, what I'm gonna do?
I hope that's the case
because if this is somebody's real like
feeling. Then you said that
it's crazy.
We've messed up. We've gone too PC. Because I think this kind of stuff dilutes the argument. Like, there is really harassment. Like, dudes are really out of control in a lot of situations. And we have grown up in a rape culture, and we do allow activity or things from men that we gotta change. We're gonna talk about some more of that later. But when you start labeling all of this, like, if you say hi to me, you know, and I didn't tell you explicitly that I wanted you to say hi to me, you wrong. Like, you're making the whole argument. You're taking credibility away from the entire thing. And it's like, let's focus on the real issues. Let's really try to, you know, to nail down what is harassment and what is not harassment. And just not every time somebody gets on your nerves, be like, me too.
So I don't even want to give this, topic too much more attention. But just to close it out, how stupid it is. She closes out the article by saying, if a man really feels he needs to let a strange woman know that he appreciates her artwork, he could give her a simple, I like your tattoos, quick and simple and to the point, with no further attempt to engage a conversation and just walk away. Isn't it even worse? Isn't it even more strange? Somebody walks up to you and says, I like your tattoos, and then turns and walks away? That's weird as fuck.
Who gives you the right to tell people what they...
Now you have to dictate how someone else, engages a conversation. Yeah. If you don't want to, you know, receive their conversation, that's fine. But you can't dictate how someone else speaks. It's too much. She's going to say, I prefer not to have my physical appearance remarked upon at all. Once you leave your home, that's it. People can talk shit about my crew neck, my sweater, my shorts, my appearance all day. I made this. I put this into the realm of possibility. I made it so that you can remark. If I wasn't here, you wouldn't have nothing to talk about.
Because I've been rocking these TWS logo shirts like crazy, and I know I got words on my chest.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to read the shit. And then they might feel some sort of way about it after they read it. You know? I went out with the Dear Police.
I'm a white woman. Yeah.
I know that means that I'm going to have a conversation at some point before the end of the day about my shit.
That's a chance you take. Like, you have to accept that. It is what it is.
All right, so here's a question for you, Rich, because I've been wondering about this a lot, because we've been talking about, like, the inappropriateness of men and the touching and the groping. I honestly believe that women, because there was a long part, it was a long time in my life where I used to actually like ask women, like, are you not aware of where your body parts are? Like, if your titties is on my neck, do you not know your titties is on my neck?
It's weird as fuck.
Yeah. On my neck. If your ass is out, do you not feel a breeze? Are you unaware that I'm in your cubicle and your thong is exposed? Like, do you not feel
they know
the air on your ass?
They know that's a little play of innocence. inappropriate, play both sides, yeah,
all the time. I don't know how many times I've had a woman come, you know, because we in IT, they'll come up to you, you know, while you're sitting at your computer to ask you something, maybe put their hands on your shoulders, titties on your neck, you know.
But I can't do that.
You can't do it, but they gotta know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your areolas is on my shoulders right now.
Can't say nothing, though.
This is gotta be.
You can't say nothing, though, because then you're the one who's sexually harassing.
I'm the one that's sexually harassing. I mean, and I've been in cubicles, and, you know, I'm there to, you know, to install something. And, oh, I can help. First of all, I don't want your help.
No.
But I can help. When I'm bending,
you can do it. You want to call me.
Bending all across the desk.
Mm-hmm.
Thong out. You got to feel the air.
You feel the air on your back.
On your back. Like, I'm uncomfortable now. I'm uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to be here.
Cause so, for those who are watching the video, I'm laughing. And I'm not laughing at Jared's plight. No, I'm not laughing at your plight. So what I'm laughing about is because shit like this sometimes comes full circle. So, did you see the video? Before we go into the next topic, it was a video on Facebook. These two women were in a store. And one had on, like a club dress. Like, they was about to go to the club or whatever. Her breasts were out, like short mini skirt or whatever, and like her homegirl, and they were at the counter, they were buying some stuff. Dude comes in like a muscle shirt, like one of them little like ripped for nothing type dudes, looking like Triple H and shit. And he trying to like wait in line to buy some shit, and a girl sees him and she's like, oh my god, hey, like trying to flirt with the guy, and like she backs it up on him really quick and like bends over and like starts like whining on him. Motherfucker called the cops. He called the cops and said, listen, she sexually harassed me. She touched me. I didn't want it. She put her ass on me. Had her arrested. And then
she'll probably do it.
And there's probably plenty of people out there saying, oh, he gay, or was showing him, or she was just touching him and showing him an affection. But if a man would have rubbed his motherfucking dick on a woman or touched her body parts or whatever without her permission, just in a store randomly walking in, it'd be some big shit.
Yeah.
Same thing. I don't know that I would have been the guy who would have called the cops, but the fact remains, he reserves the right to call the cops because he felt assaulted. He felt harassed.
I'm telling you, Rich, it was a long time in my life where I would like have conversations with female friends like, are you really, do women not have like feeling instant? Like, do they not know where certain body parts are at all times? Like, do you not know where your breasts are at all times?
Apparently not.
Unaware of their location.
I finally saw that episode of Family Feud with the Kardashians and Kanye. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't seen that.
One of the questions was, name a body part that you accidentally will hit on furniture or whatever. So one person is like, oh, you know, you stub your toe, you hit your knee. Kim Kardashian is like, my butt. And Steve Harvey's like, what? She's like, yeah, sometimes my butt just like bumps into stuff. You don't know like the rotation of your own ass. Like, you know, you don't know.
People know their cars better than they know their own fucking body.
I can whip my car. I got an SUV. I can whip the car. And I know the turning radius of the front of my car. That's 3.5 feet, 4 feet from where I'm sitting inside the car. You don't know where your ass is in relevance to the door that you're walking through. Come on, no pun intended. That's asinine. So no.
All right, Rich. Since we've been talking about female body parts, we might as well keep it going.
I bet. What we got?
Last week you brought up the labia necklace. This week, I'm gonna ask you if you heard the one about the woman that was found with 82 grams of drugs stuffed in her vagina.
Hold on. All right, so a woman found with 82 grams of drugs. So I did hear about a woman who was arrested for transporting large amounts of drugs, but it was a grandmother. Is this the one?
This is not a grandmother.
With the grandmother?
This is not a grandmother.
So I ain't hear about this. I heard about the grandma smuggling.
So welcome to the latest episode of Guess the Ethnicity. Mr. Green, a Wisconsin woman, is facing felony drug charges after police say they found 82 grams of drugs in her vagina. This woman, who was arrested on June 25th in Wisconsin, Let's see. She was driving with her 39-year-old companion, who was a convicted drug dealer. Officers pulled over the car after getting a tip that the gentleman she was driving with might be selling drugs. the dogs seemed to pay a lot of attention to the chair she was sitting in.
Of course.
The dogs were sniffing her seat after she got up. And that prompted them to, I think they gave her like an MRI, and they found a plastic bag with 82 grams of drugs. And not of any one individual drug. We're talking, there was meth, cocaine, synthetic weed, ecstasy, and regular weed.
All that?
All that.
82 grams of all that?
A full convenience store of narcotics in her vagina. So based on these facts and these facts alone, Mr. Green, do you feel as if you can guess the ethnicity?
Like, I feel like, what was the drugs again? It was
cocaine, meth, synthetic weed, ecstasy, and marijuana.
I'm gonna say not black. I'm gonna say not black.
Okay. All right, we're gonna come back to it.
You wanna know why I say not black?
Yes, sir.
I mean, not black. And she could be black, but see, his one, you said synthetic weed.
Synthetic weed.
We ain't got time for that. We want that loud. We want that chocolate. We want that Joel. We want that gas. I say we. I don't do none of this shit. But I be on Instagram and people are like, I got that loud. So I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to hang right now because it's lit.
All the words he knew for weed. Right?
I don't even know if chocolate is still a thing, nigga. But like, the fuck it. People listen. That's what people use. That was number one. And it's synthetic. Niggas ain't doing synthetic weed. Two, you said cocaine.
Cocaine
is a little bit rich. Niggas is doing crack.
Okay.
So it's a different. And then what was it? It was synthetic weed? No.
Meth.
I feel like meth isn't anybody drug. I just feel like you see more Danny than M'Baku's doing meth. I'm just saying.
I had to be Danny and M'Baku.
I'm just saying.
I don't know nobody named M'Baku. All right.
You don't know M'Baku, nigga. Oh, shit. Wakanda,
just
baby.
Just I found this mad interesting about the story. I'm going to give you one more tidbit before we circle back in a bit. But the 82 grams, the bag of drugs in her vagina, mm-hmm. was about the size of a fist. It's about the size of a fist.
Yeah, it is. Right. I'm gonna say not black. I'm gonna say not black. That's a lot of motherfucking grams.
All right, let's do this Monique Roseanne situation. So Monique can't seem to like. She just enjoys being on the wrong side of arguments.
Just let it go, Lenny. You're not even giving your last shit enough time to die down before you do your next shit. Like, what is wrong with her?
So was somebody specifically asking her about Roseanne, or is she just like coming out?
I think she came out and volunteered.
And
so
trying to support,
yeah,
for no reason.
Why? I think I know why. So in the article it says, you know, she came to Roseanne's aid about the comments that she made about the Muslim girl because she said Monique said Roseanne is her sister in comedy and she can't leave her out there to hang. And the reason why she came to Roseanne's aid is because when Monique had her show, the Monique Show, and she was dealing with some stuff, Roseanne Barr had some nice words for her. She had some words of encouragement. She had some advice or whatever the case may be. So she just said, you know what? I ain't going to let her drown like that. She's my sister in comedy, so I'm going to have her back. No.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So how do you feel about that? Like, once somebody makes a comment like that, is it just over for them? Like, you can't come back? Is that just indicative of...
I think it's indicative of a deep-rooted hatred and malice and prejudice on her part. And mostly because it's not the first time... She's made comments. It's not the first time she said shit like this. Like, she has a history of this. Her own castmates have admitted to the fact that, and come forward to state the fact that she's had a history of this. So this is just who she is, you know. And it's people can change. You know, I'm not saying you should just automatically throw someone away from a mistake. It's a series of mistakes. That's number one. But number two, even if you feel like somebody has redeeming qualities, this is not the one that I'm going to have your back on. You know, you don't say, you know, R. Kelly may be a pedophile, you know, but he donated a lot of money to charity. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. Just like usually, it goes back to the conversation we had on Bill Cosby. You know, he rapes, but he saves more than he rapes. But this is not that. This is saying, give her a break. So what about this? Because she did this. It don't work like that. I don't care how many motherfucking nice words she had to say to Monique. She out here calling people niggas and apes and all types of shit. That trumps that. Whatever personal word she gave you of encouragement off camera that we can't verify, she publicly said some shit that millions of people saw.
You think the better move would have been Monique personally going to Roseanne? Like,
she should have personally went to Roseanne. Yeah.
As my sister, the same way you did me.
Exactly.
Rather than this public,
Exactly. Back her as a sister, give her a vote of support as a person, but you don't try to diminish what she did. You can't say, leave her alone, don't throw her away because she did this. No, you can say, well, she is racist, but she's a kind-hearted person if that's what you feel. But don't try to replace one with the other. You know, like we said before, you got to call out every single one. Bill Cosby is a funny motherfucker who was raping bitches. Listen, that is what it is. I just downloaded the Bill Cosby Show to my NAS too, so I'm still a great comedian. I will never let that nigga be in the same room alone with my sister, daughter, niece, cousin, auntie. But he funny as shit.
Man.
But it is what it is.
And could this just be more of, like, this seems to be the only way Monique knows how
to be. The only way she can be relevant. Only way she can be relevant.
Continue to
just stir a pot.
Controversial.
Stir a pot.
And we've talked about that on the show as well. Like, that is what's saddening me the most about, like, the climate right now is you don't have to even believe what it is you're saying. You don't have to stand behind it.
Nope.
You just need to find something to say that's going to get people's attention and then have a plan for how to use that attention.
Because it doesn't matter what you say. People will themselves find a way to justify it. When Kanye did that whole slavery was a choice shit, nobody understood what he was saying.
They still don't understand what
But the
saying.
Amount of people that justified the fact that you're right, slavery was a slave. Slavery was a choice. They chose to be there and not fight back. And then as soon as he came back and he tried to clean it up, all of these dumb motherfuckers didn't have nothing to say. Like, you're just like, oh, my bad. Like, people will find a way to justify it for you.
To figure out a reason behind his words that he wasn't even given.
No.
Crazy shit.
It's not that serious.
Get back to these
82 grams. 80? Listen, do you know how big a fist is? Listen.
I've seen a few videos. No, I'm just
kidding. That's the other thing. Every time you see one of those, I'm not saying I watch those type of videos.
Yeah, that's too late.
But every time you see one of those type of videos,
it ain't us.
It's never a sister.
It's not us.
I don't know. I ain't never seen no black girls anymore break my wall. No. They be 67 talking about my shit still tight. Like, nah, I'm going out black.
You still going out black?
I don't even know what next part you're gonna say, but
I'm trying to determine what will be the next thing. So, would you like to know? All right, I'm gonna give you the race of the individual in the car with her. Her companion was 39-year-old Jerrell McCollum, black man, convicted drug dealer. He has an MO. He is known to travel with a woman. And, if the police stops him, that's their job, is to slip the drugs in their vagina real quick. This is part of this dude's MO.
I feel like I still want to say not black.
Not black.
Because of, what's his name? What was the name of that movie? Hustle and Flow.
Okay.
Terrence Howard, who is this bottom bitch? Fucking phone microphone. White girl.
I'm in charge.
White girl. Fuck it up. What was that other movie?
I should have laughed. I'm in charge.
It was like three movies that just came to mind. And it was a black dude. What's his name? Monster. Charlize Theron. come on. It's never a white dude. First of all, I ain't never heard. This may be me talking too much shit. In all of the adult entertainment videos and all of the Snapchats, it could be stereotypical.
Snapchats.
Okay. I have never seen a woman call a white dude daddy. I've never seen it.
Never seen it.
Have you seen it? I've never. Like, if you sit here and think about it, but in every video with a black dude in it.
So just a woman call a black dude daddy?
In general. Listen, a woman.
A woman?
I've never seen a woman. I've never seen a white woman, a black woman, whatever.
I don't think I've seen it. I've been called daddy.
Yeah, I've been called zaddy. Apparently you gotta switch out the letters and shit. Zam.
Niggas getting too extra if they got it. If you say daddy, like, don't.
Listen.
Don't feel better about yourself because you made up a word.
I ain't make up that word.
I ain't talking about you.
Oh, I was about to say, yeah.
Like, that shouldn't make her feel better about what she said.
I saw that shit on before I even knew about that, I watched Insecure.
Yeah.
And Lawrence was hitting it from behind, and she was like, Zam Zaddy. And so before I saw the episode, I watched the late.
Is that what that is? Like, that is like, I can't call you daddy, but I can say, is that the reasoning behind that? Or what the fuck?
I think that's what it is, the mentality. I'm not going to call you daddy, but because it changes it a little bit. I don't know. I saw it all over like Instagram and Facebook. Everybody's like, Zam.
Look this shit up.
Zam Zaddy. And I'm like, what the fuck is a Zaddy? And then I saw Insecure, and I was like, oh. And I'm like, this is the new shit. I don't want to. I feel like I'm the old dude trying to make sense of this shit. But Zam.
Zam.
That's what the fuck these motherfuckers be saying.
I gotta pull up Urban Dictionary. I'm sorry. So this is saying that it's just damn daddy said with so much emphasis that the D sound turns into a Z sound. That's what Urban Dictionary is saying. I've never yelled any word with a D in it so loud that it sounded like this. That sounds like the dumbest shit I ever
heard. Yeah, listen, life. That's a zummish shit, yeah.
I need a zoller. Like, who the fuck?
It don't make no motherfucking sense. So I refuse to try to make sense.
Coffee
of it.
And Zonuts. Like, no, nigga, that's.
Listen.
There's no way I can emphatically say, make the D sound that it sounds like a Z.
No.
That's just
no. So I don't know.
That's the same shit. Like when I was before I got married, when I lived by the rule that if you don't put the I in front of love you, it changes it somehow. So if you just like,
but it does,
you,
it does.
Yeah, like, oh, I love you, and I'm like, love you too.
Oh, like, so that's the other one.
I like slipped under the. Like,
that's the so that's
I
the
never
other one.
Said
yeah,
I.
You can't say if she says I love you, one you can't say love you. Two, you can't say love you too. You can't drop the I and you can't add the two at the end. Because if you say I love you too, meaning also, which technically makes sense, that's not you professing it. That's you only saying it in response to them saying it. And they had to pull it out. Listen, I've had real arguments over this shit. So at this point, it's like, I love you, but I love you. Add the I, drop the two. That's the rule.
Somehow in the middle of that argument, the way my petty works, it'll be like, you know what? I take it back altogether. Fuck you. I ain't your feelings. I don't know. I used to love you. How about that?
Zam. Shit.
I used to love you. Catch me outside. Anyway, Shit, I'm gonna give you the list of charges she got.
All right, what does white girl get charged with?
She was charged with six felony drug counts, including two counts of THC possession, possession with intent to deliver cocaine, and possession with intent to deliver meth. She was also charged with eight counts of felony bail jumping, stemming from an earlier felony case that remains pending. So she had cases.
See, now the bell jumping makes me think black.
She had cases. Remember, we're going black, non-black.
Yeah. The bell jumping makes me think black.
How are we going to come back? We're going to do the review like that. Man. 82 grams, my nigga. 82 grams. All right.
Such a fistful of drugs.
So I actually had to call my wife. Not call her. I did. Now that I think about it, I did it via like text. And that's probably way too impersonal for what I was asking her. But wanted to close out with the Charlamagne discussion.
All right, we're going Charlamagne. I figured that's where you're going. Charlamagne.
And so two issues is going on with Charlamagne right now, right? One is he told a story about the first sexual encounter he had with his wife, which, you know, opened the discussion for whether or not that was rape. He and his wife have, you know, been on the Breakfast Club since that. He's, you know, had her call or called her from the Breakfast Club. And, you know, they've laughed.
Trying to straighten it out, and just to correct that, so that way we don't perpetuate that and slander him. It wasn't that their first sexual encounter could have been misconstrued as rape. He felt that their first sexual encounter could have been misconstrued as, I guess, inappropriate. But not necessarily rape. So that's where he got himself in trouble, because he used the rape word. She never used the rape word. Nobody else ever used the rape word.
Asked her,
yeah,
if she thought.
And then once you put that out into the ether, and then that twist the thought process, which is then why everybody all of a sudden ran with it. Charlamagne said he raped his wife. You know, so you gotta. He's learned from his mistake and he's admitted it. And, you know, we have to do it on our platform too. You have to, I'm not saying you got to cater and you got to, like, you know, we're going to be assholes regardless, but you got to be careful with your words. So,
well, I mean, you just got to know, not so much you have to be careful with them, but you know, you got to be prepared for the backlash. I'd say the crazy thing about this show is that I swear to God, people will be recorded. And I don't ever listen to this shit again. Like, never again. Like, I may listen to it a bit to edit it, and if I'm looking for like a snippet to use as a highlight, but other than that, I don't listen to these episodes again. And then people
My cousin texted me yesterday, like, really, Rich? And I'm like, and he mentioned the phrase, and I'm like, the fuck are you talking, nigga? The last thing you told me was you went to Popeyes. I'm trying to go back through the text message. Like,
you gotta have some context.
Yeah, you're not gonna give me no reference. Episode 89, second half, verse, blah, 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 blah. You gotta fucking reference this shit. I don't know what the fuck you talking about.
But yeah. But now I had to reach out to Sammy because, you know, the whole thing made me think is that my first sexual encounter with my wife was very questionable. And my like, I think I woke up that next morning like nervous. Like, what, like, this, the way this plays out, is all on her at this point. Like,
oh yeah.
I don't really know what happened last night. So it's all gonna be, you know, how she took it. If she decides she wasn't happy with what happened last night, I'm in trouble. Shitload of trouble. And it just so happened, like, she was leaving and walking around the door, and she was asking if she could come back later on that afternoon. I was like, okay. But we were both drunk. I wasn't 100% sure about what happened. And I asked her about it today, and, you know, she said, of course, she doesn't think, you know, that I raped her. But how close? Like, I don't know. And we were talking about it when we were having our casting call this weekend. Like, I was saying, I think when we grew up, or at least for, you know, the understanding I had from, you know, your mother and school teachers and, you know, just people trying to prepare young men for the decisions that they were going to have to make, the narrative was no means no. But no means no really put the emphasis on her to, you know, to say, if you don't say no.
To say no.
You've said yes.
Anything but an explicit no is a yes, and then also
it's flipped.
Yeah,
it's flipped, and now, and I'm not saying right or wrong is flipped. I think we're probably in a more reasonable place with switching the definition to anything but an emphatic yes.
Is a no.
I think that's a much safer way to go about it. But I think we do have to understand that that is a paradigm shift, you know. It is a complete paradigm shift for a lot of people, right or wrong, whether or not we were being taught the wrong things, you know, that it was rape is rape, and if it's rape now, it was rape then. But it's the exact opposite, you know, set of instructions that people are being given.
So
they're going to be a lot, to me, there are going to be a lot of these situations where using what we understood to be right at the time, using that logic, people did a lot of wrong shit, you know.
And I think that that's part of what the whole the Me Too movement is based off of. Shit that may have been okay before, but now it's that whole huge paradigm shift. And now you look back on it now and you're like, well, wait, maybe, well, I wasn't fully comfortable. I didn't really say yes, or I didn't want this. And now you're like, I don't have to accept that. I don't have to take this. So then you're going back and it's like, well, listen, this is what happened. Here's the issue with that. And I feel like I gotta make this disclaimer, and this is not me skating, I don't want to, this is not me discrediting or not saying that women who are violated or abused have a right to come forward. However, what I'm trying to say is that there will be a lot of people like that Aziz Ansari case, where it seems like it's not necessarily harassment, but, you know, a change of mind, or it's like after it's all over, like, damn, it wasn't that good. You know, I feel bad. I shouldn't have gave it to that guy, you know, and then report. You know, a change of heart isn't rape.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm more trying to say is that I think for the most part, people in general want to do the right thing, right? Nobody wants... I don't know of any men, you know, who at least openly, if they do, it's some secret shit they talk to themselves about in their basement, you know. But I don't know any men who want to be rapist, who want to violate or sexually assault a woman. I don't know dudes with that kind of mentality.
I don't want to know. Shit.
I think I know dudes who are trying to operate in what they believe to be right and wrong, and just have been taught the wrong thing, right? Or have the wrong set of instructions. Yeah. They think they're operating correctly,
and they're not.
And they're not. Yeah. And now it's kind of coming back. It's kind of coming back. But like I said, this is a complete, to me, 180 shift. We went from no means no, which meant that if she says no, stop. Oh,
and
that's the moment that you cut it off, is when she says no. Now it's, you don't start until she emphatically says yes.
And what's crazy is the line is still a little bit blurred, right? Because I've always been one of those emphatic, like, no means no.
Yeah.
You can't even like joke and say like no at me.
Nah.
Like, we'll be making them like oh, stop. Okay.
Okay.
And it's like, I've had situations when she was like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you just said stop. She's like, I was being playful. Like, why are you stopping? Like, listen, you got to be clear cut. And then immediately the mood is dead. But you can't say no really thinking yes, because then when it pulls forward, then the guy is always in trouble. So it's either he fucks up the moment or he fucks up the moment. Either way, he's going down. I agree with the paradigm shift, though. This is like, I'm listen, if it's not an emphatic yes, if we not both on the same page every 30 seconds, we still good? I'm just checking. Temperature check. We all right? and if not, then I mean, leave it alone. It's not worth your freedom. It's not worth the slander. And everybody also knows you can be freed from them government charges. That doesn't matter. The court of public opinion, you don't come back. Don't come back.
We did that episode with Creed, and that was kind of like the main thought. I don't think express it well during that episode. She asked me, I think at one point, you know, how does someone accidentally rape? And I think that's kind of the idea I was trying to get across, is that there are a lot of people, you know, under the old rules, or under the old paradigm, under the old set of instructions, there are a lot of guys that are still operating under those instructions, mm-hmm. not realizing that what they were doing is inappropriate, or what they're doing is wrong, or what they're doing is assault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are a lot of women that are still operating under those old rules and don't realize that they're maybe allowing things to happen that they didn't want to happen, but, oh, I didn't say no, you know. And then they find out, oh, but you don't have to say no. You didn't say yes. It's like, oh, where? Well, that changes the whole, you know, that recolors that whole situation.
Mm-hmm. You know.
I don't know. Always tiptoeing around these issues.
It's crazy times.
We talk about every day.
Crazy times.
But now he's been cleared. Well, now he was already cleared. And then, so here's another
he was
one
cleared two decades ago. Right. Over 2 decades ago.
Yeah. So he got accused of something.
Mm-hmm.
The victim did not cooperate. He cooperated fully. There was no lack. There was a lack of evidence.
There was a lack of evidence. One, the DNA evidence that they did find exonerated him. He had an alibi.
He fully cooperated with the police.
And he was the one who gave up everything. He's like, you're not going to slander me. This is what it is. And there was a lack of evidence to prove it, but there was substantial evidence to prove that it was not him, that he did not have any involvement, yet here we go.
Yeah, you had to go through this. You know, you just had to rehash it again over the last 3 weeks, you know.
Could you imagine 2 decades later, some shit that you had to go through it the first time, and then to go through it again, and if this is like he's at his peak.
Yeah, but the sad thing is that, like you said, right now, one way or another, his name is attached to rape.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be people that don't want to go near him, you know, and don't mm-hmm. want to. There are going to be advertisers or whatever. There are going to be opportunities that he's going to miss out on because all of a sudden now, for right, wrong, or indifferent, his name, his image, is attached to rape.
Mm-hmm.
If you Google Charlemagne right now,
you're gonna see them articles
with the word rape in it. Yep. Somewhere. Whether they say Charlemagne absolutely did not rape, but it don't matter. Like just mm-hmm. Charlemagne and rape.
So I pay attention to the relations that I have.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay married.
Listen, 2018. This not the 2018 is not the year to be trying to be out there running and gunning trying to get it. Like, listen, I'm minding my business. I'm in this studio. I'm in my office. I'm at home. That's it. I don't got time for the BS.
You have to start putting like today's paper and a clock. And look,
Rich was here. Rich was here. I'm not. Listen, I don't. Wasn't me. Not me. Not now.
All right, Rich.
Ain't going Nate Parker me.
Are you ready for the final reveal?
Yep.
All right. So this one was I actually had to go to Wisconsin jail records to see what they listed her as in the jail record, because I could not tell from the picture exactly what she was.
Oh, yeah. She not black.
Well, on one of her arrests, she's mm-hmm. listed as African-American. On this particular arrest, she's listed as Native American or Alaskan Indian or something like that. So we're gonna give her not black. That's why I was stressed the whole black not black.
Black not black.
Because she's not white. But I don't know what exactly. How did that even work? Like, how did the police just get to decide? Because they got two different ethnicities for two different arrests.
They trying to meet a quota. I got this many niggas this month. This many white folk this month, like they just.
But you got jail records for the same person, same birth date, all of that, but they get to count in two different categories depending yep. on the month you pick them up in.
Double book, double count.
Ain't that a bit?
Listen, one arrest, two checks.
All right, so Desiree Webster, 20 years old. Let me make sure she's 20. Yeah, Desiree Webster, 20 years old. Basically riding with her drug dealer friend, boyfriend,
damn,
what we want to call it. But that, I mean, that's
82 grams.
82 grams, and that means that she had to do it. Like, she had to do it fast, like that. That's like the police coming,
bruh.
Like, did you just carry lube with her? Like, what was the situation that she was able to get this fist size?
This is like, real quick, I'm gonna throw a baseball in my vagina,
full of drugs. That if any of these shits rupture,
she gone.
She done.
She gone. You saw Lucy?
Yeah. But it wasn't going to be that situation. She wasn't going to get smarter and smarter and smarter until she turned into some
computer
type shit. She was going to start sweating, get hyper, and then
the situation would escalate.
Damn. That cocaine hit her system.
Damn, Desi.
Cocaine. That Royce the 5'9 song is my shit.
Cocaine.
If y'all haven't listened to that album, Book of Ryan, Royce the 5'9, Cocaine.
That just reminded me. One of my friends earlier, I hit him about that Monique story.
Yeah.
And the response I got was funny as shit. We, the black community, would like to trade Monique for Anne Hathaway. So then I said, Anne Hathaway, Demi Lovato, Eminem, Adele, Drake, we'll take any of them.
Hey, so which is the one that just... I had the relapse.
Demi Lovato.
So yeah. You still take Demi?
I will take relapsed Demi Lovato. Because Demi Lovato, she told her truth. Before she even got high, she made a new single that said, I'm off the wagon. Like, I'm not sober no more. She made a whole single, produced it and put it out and said, family, I'm not sober. And then a week later, she was in the hospital. If that's not a motherfucking wake up call, like you put out an album and none of your friends listen, that's how you know you're real friends or not. None of her friends listened to her new track and she ended up in the hospital. That was a motherfucking cry for help.
Nigga, I could talk about that. You know, I've discussed some serious shit on this show, and then niggas see you 2 weeks later and be like, you're not drinking? Bro.
You know what made me think about before we cut this off? When I thought about that this morning, I was listening to the radio on the way to work, and they do a thing called second date update.
Yeah.
Where they get the couple up there and they see why they didn't have their second date. So I only mention this because this goes into stuff that we talked about before, as well as alcoholism and like recovery and stuff like that. So they went on the date. They had a group date. The group date was mad fun. They decided, oh, we like each other. We're gonna go on a 1-on-1 date. They go on a 1-on-1 date. Apparently, they were having an okay time, but then he never hits her back. So she calls him on a radio show to ask him why he never hit her back. He says he didn't call her back, and he was standoffish because he felt a way, because when they were on the date, they were at the restaurant. They ordered their food, and she ordered a beer and just drank it in front of his face like it was okay, like that was just a okay thing to do, and he felt disrespected. So she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Apparently, he thought she knew that he was in recovery, that he had went through the whole process, and that he's sober, like he doesn't drink.
Yeah.
One, you can't just assume that somebody knows your life story. Two, if you felt the way, you should have said something. And three, you can't get mad at what the fuck I'm doing. I will be respectful because you're my friend, my brother, my cousin, like whatever the case, and I'm not going to do that in front of you. However, you're going through something, not me. That may sound insensitive, but you never know how far one person is going to take it. I'm the type of person where if I know the situation, obviously, I'm not going to do that because I'm not an asshole. But
there you go. I mean, at the same time, everybody has a problem with it. Like, yes. A lot of people don't like to be made to feel weird. Like, don't be weird around me. Like, don't be different. Like, do what you was gonna do. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't see how you could expect someone to know how you want to operate in that situation.
He blacked and he just went off and he just felt the way, and I'm just like, I think that took it to the next level, and it goes back to one the conversation we're talking about now. You gotta be mindful of what's going on, but then at the same time, you can't dictate how someone else is gonna react to what's going on. Alright, I'm off my soapbox.
Yeah, Rich isn't born. I'm just
that's alright, nigga.
Tired as fuck. And I go home and hopefully catch my daughter before she goes to sleep.
Yeah, so we get up
and do this shit all over again.
Yeah. Hoosah.
Hoosah.
Like with that said, we can let this one go. We'll be back. We're about to be back in the studio again this week.
Yeah. We got much more to talk about, much more to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to up the production value on this next one.
Oh, yeah, we might learn how to use this motherfucking equipment. All
right. I guess with that being said, until we speak again, be safe.
Be the light. Peace.